Today is a very special day in the Vaishnava calendar. And it's actually quite a sad day, too. It's the commemoration. There we go. It's the commemoration of the disappearance day or days, at least of three personalities, my dear godbrother Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Also, the commemoration of the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and the commemoration of the disappearance day of Rasikananda Deva Goswami. So what we're going to do before class, we're going to chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas, which I have here on my phone, hopefully. And just one announcement is that sometime after class, we're going to be having a program here, which you're all invited to. I'm going to put on YouTube, Facebook, and also on Zoom, which you're all invited to attend. So the class will be the normal time today, and then after that, I guess we may have a kirtan here, and then some sort of class with questions and answers later on. So it'll go on for maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, I don't know. But at least this class will be the normal timing. So what we're going to do is chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas first. As I said, Krishna Maharaj, Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj, and Rasikananda Deva Goswami. So let us start chanting. Jai Anilo Premadana Kuruna Prachur Hey No Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thakur Kamora Swarupa Rupa Kasanatan Kahadasa Ragunatha Patita Pavan Kahamora Matayuga Kahakaviraj Eka kale kota gela goranatara pashane kutibo mata anale pashibo goranga gunera Nere kota gele babo Goranga kunera nere kota gele babo Jai anilo premadana Koruna prachur Jayanilo prem madanna Koruna prachur Jayacharya takur Jayacharya takur Jayacharya takur Jayacharya takur Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Paravidakacharya, also Tera Sitashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chatanara Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakoti Vaishnav Rindagijai Namacharya Shilahoidas Thakur Gijai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrindagijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Saimkun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturanam Gijai Jagannatha Swami Gijai Imunamai Gajai, Shimati Galasi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Pakta Vrindi Gajai, Go Primananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale, Shimati Bhakta Vedanta Swamanita Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharni Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarni. So, Om Gana Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakya Chakshun and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So for those of you who did not hear my announcement at the beginning of class, because you came on a little later, today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of three great personalities, at least three great. That is, His Divine Grace Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and then it's the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Rasikananda Dev Goswami, whose disappearance day it is today. So we're going to be talking a little bit about these three personalities. I am at our preaching center in Orlando, Florida right now. And we're going to have a program later on after this class, some of which will be on the Zoom account or at least on the other accounts like Facebook and YouTube. So in any case, I'd like to read the translation of this poem that I just sang, which is called Saparshita Gaura Viraha Vilapa, which is written by Narottama Das Thakur, and actually about the disappearance of great personalities. Prabhupada explained that on disappearance days of great personalities, we should chant this particular prayer. So here's the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where am I Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to attain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So let us talk about these three great personalities. First, I'm going to talk about His Divine Grace Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who I had the great pleasure of working with, especially in regard to Fiji and the devotees in the Fiji Islands. So, for many years, I was admiring Tamal Krishna Maharaj because he was so close to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and actually he was one of the few devotees to whom Srila Prabhupada would go to ask for advice. And when Prabhupada saw at one particular time that some of the devotees were actually being affected by some of the envy of some of his godbrothers, he called for Tamal Krishna Maharaj to actually take him away from America because the devotees had become infected by envy, even though in one sense, they were innocent, but enviousness is such an infectious disease that even if someone is innocent and you're exposed to someone who's infectious like that or envious like that, then that can really affect your consciousness. So Prabhupada called for Tamal Krishnamurti, who happened to be in Europe at that time, and asked him to take him to India. And so Prabhupada really depended on the association Tamal. And in India, Tamal Krishnamurti became Prabhupada's primary leader in the Mumbai project and other areas of India. And Prabhupada depended on him there. At one point, Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring him back to India when he came to the United States to do the Radha Damodara party. But Tamal Krishnamurti arranged to show Srila Prabhupada how successful he was in making Western devotees. And Prabhupada said you should stay. But Prabhupada had no one like him to manage in India at all at that particular time. You know, very much depending on Tamal Krishnamurti's management, his intelligence, his management, and his dedication. And Prabhupada also had some interesting exchanges with Tamal Krishnamurti, because Tamal Krishnamurti was really into controlling things. So there's that famous story when Prabhupada was with Tamal Krishnamurti in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada explained to Tamal Krishnamurti how insignificant we all are. He described all the universe. He said, when the Lord breathes out, the Mahavishnu breathes out, all these universes, you know, millions and billions, unlimited universes come out. And amongst all these universes, there's one universe, one of those universes, which we happen to be in. And then, in that universe which we're in, there's many, 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 many planets. And there's one planet amongst those billions and trillions and quadrillions of planets, and that's the Earth planet. And in the Earth planet, there's many, 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 many countries, and we happen to be in America. And in America, there's many, 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 many cities, and there's one city called Los Angeles, which we're in. And in Los Angeles, there's many, many, many streets, and there's a street which we're on, what, Seek Avenue, whatever. And then Prabhupada said, and then there's one building on that street, and there's many, many buildings on that street, and in that building is Tamal Krishnamurti, who thinks he's the supreme controller. So Prabhupada had this really affectionate, joking relationship with Tamal Krishnamurti. Tamal Krishnamurti had a fantastic sense of humor. Even in my interactions with him, they were extremely humorous. For example, I would call him up on the phone, and he was in the UK, and I would say, can I speak to the Supreme Controller? You know, referring back to Prabhupada's interactions with Tamal Krishnamurti. And he said, answer the phone. He said, yes, this is the Supreme Controller speaking. Can I speak to the Supreme Controller number two? You know, so back and forth. Interesting exchange. Very, very interesting and very affectionate, interesting exchanges. I had some previous exchanges with him that were rather chivalrous. You see, in relationships, the indirect rasas sometimes come up. You know, chivalry ras means like two fighters who were challenging each other. So once upon a time, many years ago, I was in charge of some of the temples in South America, particularly Caracas, Venezuela. And we and Mexico combined challenged the Radha Damodar Party, which Tamal Krishnamurti was in charge of, to a book distribution competition. Who could distribute the most books during Christmas? Okay. And so he really liked competitions, and also I used to like competitions, not so much anymore, but that's when I was young. So during the whole month of December, that's the Christmas marathon, for those of you who are not in America and don't understand these things. During the whole month of December, we were challenging each other, you know, calling back and forth on the phone, and he would get upset if we were winning, and we would get upset if he was winning. Back and forth the whole month. And then eventually we did win and defeat Radha Damodar. And that's when Prabhupada made that famous quote that Tamal Krishnamurti does not like to get defeated. So those are during the during some of the early days when Prabhupada was present. So then I remember, actually, I remember giving a class in Sridhar Mayapur one time during the GBC meetings, and Tamal Krishnamurti was sitting in the audience. He was listening to my class, and he really, somehow or other, he appreciated the points I was making, and he marked that, because he was always very attentive with things, always remembered things, never forgot things. And he, later on, asked me to go to Fiji. First, he asked me to go to Fiji to actually solve a particular legal problem that one of the devotees was causing, who shall remain nameless, to protect the innocent or the guilty. And I spent a week in Fiji, and then somehow or other, I told him afterwards, I said, this is a great place, this Fiji. This is a fantastic place, this Fiji, because the prashanam is so tasty. I mean, at that time, I didn't have a restricted diet. So I just thought, you know, this is like going back to home, back to Godhead, without Krishna. So I tell you, the prashanam is really tasty. And he said, wait till you taste the politics there. They're even more tasty. And I was thinking, maybe he's just joking. And because, you know, when I was there, I didn't perceive any politics because everybody was nice to me. The first time you go there, you know, everybody's going to be nice and not involve you in the local disputes. But then later on, I realized that what he was speaking was the absolute truth. You know, it was the absolute truth. A devotee doesn't speak something that's not true, unless he's joking, of course. But and it was and continues to be really interesting. I mean, being in Fiji is like having a lesson in politics, a PhD lesson in politics. So he was absolutely right. But after this first visit, he asked me to go and remain, not remain in Fiji, but remain as the GBC in Fiji. First time I went as the GBC chairman trying to solve a problem for him, but then he somehow or other thought that I was the right person, so he asked me to remain as GBC in Fiji. So at that point, and also he asked me to accept disciples in Fiji. You know, I was told before that he was very protective and didn't want other people accepting disciples when he was present, but even when he was present, he asked me to accept disciples in Fiji. So there was a very, very close, trusting relationship with him. I mean, we had, at least in the last year or two, you know, it was a really close relationship, and he trusted me. And so then what happened is the final year, I mean, there's many other stories too. The final year in Mayapur, when he came, he hadn't been in Mayapur for a number of years because he had been in the university. So he came to Mayapur, and he was really happy to be there. And every night they would have kirtans in his room, which is just right upstairs from my room. I was actually staying, where was I staying? I think in the room right below his quarters. Somehow or other, I was hearing the kirtans every night. And so, because I was taking rest early. And so basically, we were discussing not only about Fiji, but about what we would do when we went back to the United States. And he said to me, you know, do you want to go in the same car with me to the airport? Calcutta Airport, of course. And we were flying basically at the same time out of Fiji, flying out of Calcutta basically at the same time. So what happened is that I like to get really early to the airport. I mean, some devotees like to be at the last minute, and that makes me very nervous. So I said to him, no, I'll just take an earlier. I had already arranged an earlier taxi. So I took an earlier taxi to the airport and got on my plane and flew out of India back to the United States. And as soon as I arrived back in the United States, then I called one of the devotees, I think it was Krishnapriya. I called one of the devotees and I and she said, have you heard? I said, have I heard what? And she said, Tamal Krishnamar has left this world. I said, what? How's that possible? I just saw him, you know, 24 hours ago. And I found out exactly what happened. And so in a day or two later, I don't remember exactly how many days, I flew to Fiji to be with the devotees. And the devotees had related to me that during his last visit to Fiji, he was sort of, let's say, indirectly saying goodbye to the devotees. And they understood that in retrospect. That means looking back at his last visit to Fiji. And he sort of, I think he understood that he was going to join Srila Prabhupada somewhere else. And even when he was leaving Sridhar Mayapur, he paid obeisances to Garuda. There's a Garuda Stamba outside of our temple in Sridhar Mayapur, and he said, today you're going to be taking me. So that's a very interesting statement. Usually you wouldn't say such a thing like that. Today you're going to be taking me, because being on the back of Garuda means you're going somewhere else other than this earth planet. So therefore, that was an intense experience for all of us, losing such a great soul. I mean, he, more than anyone else, knew Prabhupada's intention, just like it's mentioned about Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam, that Srila Rupa Goswami, you have understood the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the intention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you've come to establish it. So I would see amongst all Prabhupada's disciples that he really understood in a concrete fashion the intention of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's strategy. I would say almost more than anyone else. And he was so dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. I remember even he would explain to me that even when he wasn't going to the university, every morning he would listen to a class of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. You know, that was part of his sadhana, listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada. And so, you know, just extremely dedicated. And of course, there's the story that he was with Srila Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada left this world, and Srila Prabhupada just depended on him completely when Prabhupada was getting ready to leave this world in Vrindavan. So such a wonderful soul. I mean, we are lamenting his passing. We'll never have someone like and determined as Tamal Krishna Maharaj. It's hard to imagine anyone so determined, so focused on Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, even at the GBC meetings, he basically drew everyone's attention with his stare. He could stare at you and just like, oh my God. And then you'd have to listen. And I remember we took some votes at the GBC meeting. And so the devotees who were, even the GBC people, Prabhupada disciples who were scared of him, he was asked one time to turn around and not look at who was voting for a particular thing or not voting for a particular thing, because we would take votes by raising our hands. Of course, now we take votes on the internet. So it's a little bit different, a little bit more sophisticated with computers. But in those days, we would take votes by raising our hands, and he was asked sometimes to look the other way so that devotees couldn't see, or he couldn't see who was voting which way. So all glory to Tamal Krishnamars. I mean, we really miss him. It's just like, this is really, you know, almost a sad time in ISKCON for many of us who are losing our friends, not only Tamal Krishnamars, but Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and Bhakti Churu Maharaj, good friend Bhakti Churu Maharaj, and Shridhar Maharaj, and so many others who I was very close to. So it's a real challenging time and a very heart-wrenching time in ISKCON. So what we need to do is remember the determination and dedication of these great devotees and serve their mission, which is the same as serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, and then dedicate ourselves to the proposal of someday meeting them again. And I know we will all meet again. It's a fact. It's not like non-devotees where pieces of seaweed float apart and never together again. But with devotees, Prabhupada said we have an ISKCON in the spiritual world, and we have ISKCON in different planets preaching Krishna consciousness. So I look forward to the time when I will be with Tamal Krishnamars and these other devotees, and of course with Srila Prabhupada, and we will be joining hands and dancing and chanting together. So this is a little sad day for me based upon that. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Tamal Krishnamars. So then I want to talk a little bit about some of the other personalities, the two other personalities, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Rasikananda, who disappeared today, and I'm going to make reference to some of my notes here. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj appeared in this world in around 1750 AD in what's known now as Bangladesh. And here's his spiritual lineage. You have Baladeva Vidyabhushana, who initiated Uddhava Das Babaji, and Uddhava Das Babaji initiated Madhusudana Das Babaji, and Madhusudana Das Babaji was the guru of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj would go between Sridham Mayapur, or Navadweep area, and Vrindavan, or Brajamandal, for many, many years. And he was so dedicated to chanting, he would chant sometimes continuously, 3 days and nights in a row, without sleeping and without eating and without drinking. And then he would eat very, very simply, like flat rice and yogurt. So he associated, of course, with Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Actually went to see Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Surabhi Kunj in 1893. And verified when Bhakti Vinod Thakur recognized the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, verified that this was the appearance place, and the way he verified that was jumping out of a basket. He was being carried in a basket by his servant Bihari, and he was 125 years old at that time. And he jumped out of the basket and started to dance and chant, and his body became elongated at that particular point. And he established the authenticity of that particular site. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also had many interactions with Jagannath Das Babaji. When he was 12, that is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji instructed him to make a Vaishnav calendar, and that Vaishnav calendar is basically the same Vaishnav calendar that we are following today. It's called the Navadvipa Panjika. So he lived on this earth, some people say for 135, other people say 147 years, but in any case, that's a long time. And as I mentioned before, his body became elongated whenever he was dancing and chanting. And I mentioned before about Bihari, his servant. So he had deities, Sonagora, golden deities, and which after a while he gave those deities away because there were thieves who tried to steal them. They were unable to steal them because Krishna just refused to move. Then he worshipped a Sadbuja, six-armed deity of Lord Ramchandra, and Babaji Maharaj worshipped him for many years until he finally turned this the deities over to the Sadbuja temple, which is situated in a lane near Nidivan. Nidhuvan, which is a famous forest right in the city of Vrindavan. So this Bihari, he used to carry his guru right on his shoulders in a basket, as I mentioned before. And so there's this interesting story how one time when Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj met Bhagawan Das Babaji, they just actually embraced each other. And from 10 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, they both remained embraced and just like motionless in trance. So Bihari began to massage his guru's chest to get him out of trance. So, actually, when they went to one place, and it's called Kalna, which is actually in Bengal, Bihari asked if he would want to stay in an ashram. And Babaji Maharaj replied, "No, we will not stay in ashram, we'll stay under two trees." And eventually Bhaktivinoda Thakur built two small huts for them. And Babaji stayed in Kulia for 32 years. As I mentioned before, he lived to 147 years old. He was very strict with Chaturmasya. In the first month, he would take only four bananas each day in the evening. Second month, he would take only guavas. In the third month, he would drink some buttermilk. And in the fourth month, he consumed only the flowers of a banana tree. Phew. One time, he went to Rishikesh to perform this purificatory practice called Purushcharana. And he used to bathe at 3 o'clock in the morning, chant inside a closed room until sunset without speaking or eating. In order to complete the vow, one is expected to take a bath after each call of nature and even after passing air. After doing this for 2 months, he, by accident, spoke to Bihari, and then he said, "Well, I have to begin the entire procedure again because I wasn't able to complete this vow." And then 3 months later, he had completed his vow. Such determination. And he was known for his equality towards all the different castes. One time he accepted bread from a person belonging to a sweeper caste, and everyone criticized him for that. But he said, "Do you know who these sweepers are? Before Dham Krishna asked 88,000 sages to take birth there, and they were born in low-class families. Devotees reside in Brajadham simply to get the opportunity of smearing their bodies with its dust and indeed give up their bodies. These sweepers are always serving the dust of Vrindavan. Therefore, I regard them as servants of the Dham, and I see them as no different from any other Vaishnava." So once upon a time, let's see, where's this? Oh yeah, that once upon a time they didn't have anything to eat to break the Ekadasi. So Babaji ordered Bihari, his servant, to chant the Maha Mantra loudly. And then before noon, a Brijbasi came and brought some grains for them to prepare prasad. One was a huge quantity. It's described that prasad is always miraculously available to them. There's many, many stories about this. Let's see, he was very humble. Oh, here's a miracle. Once upon a time, some people were talking to Babaji Maharaj, and they said, "Can you perform a miracle?" And he said, "I don't know how to perform miracles." He then picked up a stick and started beating on the ground. apparently being annoyed with them for their question, and everyone was fearful that they had committed an offense by asking him to show a miracle. And they begged the Babaji not to be angry with them. Jagannath Das Babaji replied, "I'm not angry with you. I'm chasing out a goat who was eating the tulsi plant near the cottage of Srila Lokanath Das Goswami at Radhakund." Now remember, Babaji at that particular juncture was in Navadvip. He wasn't in Brajadham. And so later on, they actually contacted them somehow or other, I guess through a telegraph or something like that, and they found out that a goat had entered the cottage of Srila Lokanath Goswami and had eaten the tulsi plant there. Another miracle was once when he was in Navadvip, Bihari, who was the servant of Jagannath Das, Babaji Maharaj became very ill. And the doctor said that Bihari is going to die. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj sat by the side of his dear servant, and throughout the night he chanted to him, he put a tulsi leaf in his mouth. But within a half an hour, Bihari was cured. He rose from his bed and actually went into the kitchen and prepared something for Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So what a great miracle. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj said the best time for chanting was from 3 o'clock in the morning till 7 in the morning, from sunset until 11 o'clock at night. He said no serious-minded devotee would be sleeping during that particular time, as Lord Shiva comes to inspect the devotees of his guru, Lord Krishna, at that time. Another miracle was the Bihari, the servant, was actually illiterate. And so Babaji Maharaj asked him to read the Sri Chaitanya Maha Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Bihari said, "You know, I'm illiterate, I can't read." So Babaji requested him simply look at the book for some time and then start chanting the stanzas. Within minutes, Bihari was able to read, and he was reciting the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya from the pages of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it was better than going to school. So whenever he was in Calcutta, he stayed at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, and devotees tried to take him to their houses for prasadam, but he refused to go. So even though he had his eyesight was practically non-existent in the final days or final years of his life, he was able to see when some money was missing. So, because Bihari was actually setting money aside for Das Babaji's needs. And so he took money out of this money pot to set it aside, not stealing it, but it was for the service of his master. And so Babaji Maharaj wasn't concerned with keeping money. One day he purchased 200 rupees worth of rasgullas for the cows of Navadvip Dham. And another day he was getting ready to take prasadam, and the little puppy sat around his plate, and Bihari tried to move away the puppies. But Babaji said, "Take my plate away, I'll not eat today." Whereas Bihari would produce the dogs and say, "Here are the dogs," and Babaji Maharaj would say fondly, "They are the dogs of the Dham." So we understood any creature in the holy Dham was to actually be worshipped. He was very heavy with professional Bhagavatam reciters. He said to one, "You're speaking the Bhagavatam is the same business as a prostitute's. Those who recite Bhagavatam as a business are offenders of the holy name. One should not hear from them. If anyone hears from them, he will simply become degraded." That person ceased doing that, and he became a great devotee. He became very, very humble. And at Jagannath Das Babaji's advanced age, he actually left Brajadham for good. Some people describe it the age of 146. They said, "Why are you leaving such an advanced age?" And he said to them, "You can all stay here in Brajadham because you're all pure Vaishnavas. I am very offensive, and therefore it's better for me to stay at Navadvip. Their Lordship Sri Sri Gornatai do not count one's offenses, as they have appeared to liberate all offenders. But here in Brajadham, All offenses are counted and reactions, therefore, are strictly enforced. This was his last journey to Navadvipa Dham a few months after his arrival on the first day of the new moon in the month of Falguna, a fortnight before the anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. He entered the Lord's eternal pastimes. Of course, that's today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to always call Babaji Maharaj Vaishnava Sarvabhoma, the commander-in-chief of the Vaishnavas. Gaura Vibhava Bhumestvam Nirdeshta Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha. Mantra, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who is respected by the entire Vaishnava community and who discovered the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So that's Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And then finally, we're going to speak about Rasikananda Deva Goswami. So he appeared in 1590, the Christian year 1590, and his father was a king, Achyuta Deva. And he was given the name of Rasikananda and also Murari. At a young age, he became very proficient in all the shastras, and he had a wonderful Vaishnava wife named Shama Dasi. And at this time, when he was really young, he didn't have a guru. But one day he was sitting in a lonely place, wondering, when am I going to get a spiritual master? A bona fide spiritual master. Then a voice from the sky said, don't be in anxiety. You will be the disciple of Shyamananda. Because that Shyamananda Goswami. So having heard this, Rasika Murari became very jubilant and began to repeatedly murmur the name Shyamananda, Shyamananda, as though he were chanting japa. And his eagerness increased without diminution, that he spent most of the nights towards the early morning. He was dreaming of Shyamananda, and Shyamananda told him in the dream, when tomorrow the eastern sky becomes tinged with pink, you will obtain me. Saying this, Shyamananda disappeared. Rasikananda's heart began to swell in ecstatic bliss. Then, later on, he was looking down the path to see if his guru was coming at that time. Rasikananda's heart. So, and then Shyamananda appeared just as effulgent as the sun. And then he became an intimate disciple of Shyamananda. And Shyamananda initiated Rasikananda and his wife in Radha Krishna Mantra. And Rasikananda traveled with his guru everywhere, especially during the intimate disciple of his guru. Then he became totally engaged in the service of the deities of Radha and Krishna Gopi Gaura Nityananda. And he preached very widely, converting many people into devotees. And even converted many rogues, robbers, thieves. And there was one rascal who wanted to kill him, and he sent a wild elephant to trample him. But what Rasikananda did, he actually turned this wild elephant into a devotee. And he engaged this wild elephant in the service of the Vaishnavas. In other words, he probably carried around the devotees. Whew. That was a very wicked person who tried to do that. There's kings who he converted. Gajapati, is those who have many elephants. And he gave the elephant's name. I guess he initiated the elephant. The elephant was called Gopal Das. And two jungle tigers came to attack him one time. And they became like pussycats. And these are jungle tigers, these Bengali tigers. They weigh as much as a cow, basically. They're tremendous, ferocious creatures, and they devastate villages even today in Bengal. So he preached the message of Lord Chaitanya in the world for approximately 16 years. And then it came time for his disappearance. And the way he disappeared from this world was quite unique. Let's see. So he disappeared in Ramuna. So he walked to Ramuna, which he was living close to Ramuna. That's and he was discussing Krishna Katha with the devotees. And after requesting the devotees to begin kirtan, he entered the temple of Gopinath and touched Shirachara Gopinath. That's the deity that stole the sweet rice. He touched the deity's feet, and he entered into their shelter. He just disappeared, or left his body at that particular time. He had three sons, and their descendants are still there. Wow. And he composed the Shaimananda Ashtaka, Srimad Bhagavata Ashtaka, as many other hymns and songs. Let's see. Oh yeah, there's another interesting story about Rasikananda. One time he rushed to Nilachal, Jagannath Puri, when he remembered it was time for Rath Yatra. And Lord Jagannath, waiting for him, refused to move. In other words, the cart would not move, all the king's horses, all the king's men. Couldn't get Jagannath to move again. So he was waiting. Lord Jagannath actually told the king, "I'm waiting for Rasikananda." So then Rasikananda arrived and carried with him many offerings of silk cloth and other things for the deities, offered his obeisances before Lord Jagannath, and the king said, "You should pull the rope." And he began to pull the cart by himself, and the cart began to move along the road, and just like clouds move in the sky. Later, the king requested Rasikananda to accept a gift of land, and Rasikananda established deities and a moth there known as the Kunja moth, and he installed the deity of Sri Balakrishna. The deity and Puri is now known as Sri Sri Radha Rasika Rai. So, appeared in 1590, the first day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik, and disappeared the first day of the bright fortnight in the month of Falguna, Christian year 1652. So he... 62 years. So he was 62 years old when he passed away from this world. So Rasikananda ki jai. So we covered these three personalities, and as we mentioned before, we're going to have a program here in a few minutes, and I'm going to try to broadcast some of it. Does anyone have any questions? We're going to hold on a second. We're going to unmute you. Or allow you to unmute yourselves. Okay, let's see. You can raise your hand. Oh, Brahmaji, you're there. And you're actually here too, anyway. You can either raise your hand or unmute yourself and speak if you like. Or let me pull up the chat window so I can actually see if someone was or is asking a question. So you can type something in the chat window, or you can raise your hand. Not raise your hand in the picture, but raise your hand where it goes all the way in the bottom. If you look at the bottom, and there's a little thing there. For some of us who don't have a full screen, it's under more. But then it's reactions, under the reactions thing. And you'll see raise your hand if you want to ask a question. Or you can type your question, or you can unmute yourself. So, does anyone have any questions? If not, we'll end a little early. There's no trip to Vrindavan with Tamal Krishnamaras, if that was the question. I was in Sridhar Mayapur with him. So who else has a question? No other questions. Questions, comments, arguments, problems.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Ramaji. I'm going
Very
to see you
excited to
tonight.
see you. Yes, I'm on the way, like 2 minutes. So please forgive me
Okay.
for talking to you while I'm driving. But you mentioned I forget the name of the Maharaj. He's in our
Kamalakrishna
group.
Maharaj.
No. After Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you spoke about.
Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj,
Jagannath Das Babaji
Rasikananda.
Maharaj. Yeah, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. You said he
Yes.
undertook a very severe austerity, right? Like for 3 months,
Yes.
he did not speak to anybody. But my question is,
Yes.
in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is.
Whoops, your voice broke up. Anyways, just to answer your question, we don't have to do that. These are special personalities. Prabhupada wanted us to dedicate ourselves to presenting Krishna consciousness to others. And the process, everybody has specific directions according to their own psychophysical nature and level of advancement in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, that's not recommended for us, and I certainly couldn't do it, and you certainly couldn't do it. The way we become Krishna conscious is by pleasing Prabhupada. And what pleases Prabhupada, of course, first of all, the foundational principles and practices of following the rules and regulations and chanting your rounds and above that, or not more important than that, but above that, spreading Krishna consciousness by sharing it with others. And Prabhupada was very pleased. That's why Prabhupada encouraged the competition between us and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because Prabhupada really wanted to preach Krishna consciousness. And what happened so far is getting people to, whatever worked in so far as getting people to eat share and getting people to become Krishna conscious, the utility is the principle. That was Prabhupada's mood. And so Prabhupada was very, let's say, inventive. Prabhupada was very flexible in bringing people to Krishna consciousness. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very expert in bringing people to Krishna consciousness. Let's go back to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He would see a person and then focus on them and just stick with that person until that person agreed to be a devotee. When people were preaching, especially with the Radha Damodar party, they would visit a temple and they'd see some young man. And what happened is that he could spot who was a potential devotee. And he'd just have the devotees bring that person to him. Rather than just interacting with everybody, he would focus on one particular individual. So that's how we please Krishna. And Prabhupada was extremely pleased with him. That's why Prabhupada kept him with him at the very end. And whenever Prabhupada had some challenges in the Krishna conscious movement, he called for Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Was half a continent away. Not half a continent, half a world away, sorry. Not just a continent, half a world away. All right.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Good question. Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah.
So who else has a question? No other questions. Okay. So I guess I got to get ready for the next program tonight. And so hopefully we're going to be able to broadcast tonight. I think we will. I mean, the temple has internet connection. So we should be able to, we will maybe see you a little later. Of course, we won't be able to answer any questions. It'll just be a broadcast group of young students. It's a Thursday night here where we have a group of young students who are action consciousness and chanting 16 rounds. So I'm very enthusiastic. I'll be playing the guitar and maybe a little kirtan or whatever. We will see. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki.